This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Well, the Rockies have gotten us no closer to a fresh shave and a haircut. They get swept. Each game lost by one run. Is that a good sign? Is that a bad sign?
They don't know yet.
The Denver Nuggets take care of their business. They didn't handle anybody. Utah was a close game. It took a 96-82 comeback to win that, but they did beat Golden State. Pretty much securing, I believe that secures a playoff spot. No play-in for the Nuggets. We'll get into that. And UConn over Duke. Wow. The ghost of Christian Laettner could not save the Blue Devils. My bracket's toast. Oh, well. We move on with life, Michael. George Payton said there's one position group he's not touching when it comes to trading. Mark Johnson will join us, too, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. The Buffs gain one, but lose a couple. The whole show starts now. After the 11 o'clock hour, welcome to the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Mosquito Joe, they're heading out, Mike, to my place at like noon today to take care of no mice in the house yet, but they're going to be out there today, also getting the double whammy because they're going to take care of the mosquito situation, which I'm already seeing them, man. I'm already seeing them float around out there working in the yard. My wife has plans for an epic garden. She likes the dahlia flowers. They're complex beasts, Mike, but we are setting up shop and ready to go.
Black dahlias?
No, I don't know. Bunch of them. You already asked me this. You can just copy and paste this from last week's show. You already asked me this. We already did this dance.
I don't remember last week's
show. You don't remember yesterday. But all right, Mike, I want to do this first. I want to get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. All right, Mike, if it wasn't for that Memphis game being scheduled where it wasn't supposed to be on March 18th, because that was a makeup game when they postponed it earlier in the season, my prediction of the Nuggets winning 9 games would be looking pretty good right now. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If you would have had that, we'd be at 8 right now. We'd be at 8. So I'm taking it. I know. It's not fair. But the Memphis game wasn't supposed to be on March 18th. So I'm running it. This would be 9. Don't look me up. Don't Google it. They got Utah Wednesday. That's my good, though, is the Nuggets. It's not always pretty. They're not playing a lot of Michael's coveted defense, but they're winning games. Joker's doing his thing. They did it without pretty much every power forward against Golden State, too. The injury bug for the Nuggets has just been unreal. Unbelievable. But Denver getting it done. The bad is my bracket is toast. Absolutely toast, Michael. My only shot of hanging in, I guess, would have been that Duke ran the table and won the championship. I don't even know if I'm beating anybody here at the radio station. But Duke losing in the most depressing way of losing, but also the most exhilarating way of winning. I mean, come on. I heard Bruce talking about just hang on to the ball. You don't need to get rid of it. They're going to foul you. Just cuddle up. Settle in. Someone's going to foul you. But instead, Caden Boozer tries to throw it over 477 defenders, and the ball gets tipped. And you get a last-second three by Braylon Mullins. And that's March, man. That's how it goes. Now a lot of talk around Coach Shire for Duke and just not being able to deliver. March Madness. This is why Tad Boyle's not on the hot seat, man. Because winning in March Madness is so difficult. You can win a lot of games. You can be a favorite. But the way the tournament is structured, it's not always crowning the best team. And it just, now I'm not saying UConn's not better than Duke, but Duke coughed that up. Duke coughed up that game. The ugly for me, the Rockies get swept. And they were all very competitive baseball games, Michael. And I thought Kyle Freeland played well Friday. He was in my whole show pressure cooker. I don't know that he survived that because they did lose. But you lost Friday 2-1. You lost Saturday 4-3, and you lost Sunday 4-3. So, I mean, all games you lose by one run. Are we doing glass half full or glass half empty? Now the Rockies got to go to Toronto for a three-game series starting up today. That's going to be a tough battle. They give up a lot of runs when they play Toronto, especially in Toronto. So I don't know how that one's going to go. And then you have Philadelphia, and then you have Houston. It's going to be a little bit of a journey here, Mike. Home opener for the Rockies is on Friday. We'll have coverage of that game right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Home opener for the Rockies on Friday? Everybody knows that.
No, not everybody knows that. In fact, I would wager that a lot of people still don't care. I don't think that there is an excitement level around this team. I think they'll probably still do okay on opening day. There'll be a lot of people there at the game. But I've said it a million times. It's still a place, still a fun place to play. Best party spot in the state of Colorado. I would put money on that.
We are carrying the Rockies on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Why do you just keep doing that? Why are you doing that? Big Hub says, I hate March Madness. I think I'm March Madnessed out. I'm March Madnessed out. The best part, and I said it last week, Mike, is the first weekend, first couple of days. After that, there's still great games. I mean, the UConn-Duke game, what a finish. But it's just a lot. It's a lot of college basketball. You know, mix that in with watching a lot of the NBA stuff. I'm happy that baseball's on TV. I don't know. It's a slower game now, Mike. Baseball's obviously a slower game. But I think I just need to slow it down a little bit. Just sit and relax. Watch a slow-moving baseball game, which pretty much those three for the Rockies against Miami were. I'm happy that baseball's back. I'm not like in a hurry for basketball season to be over, college basketball. Ready for the NBA playoffs. I'm tired of messing around with these regular season games. I even tweeted it out on Friday night. Regardless of how this Nuggets-Jazz game goes, I just, for better or worse, I want this team to just get in the playoffs. I just think that, check this out, Mike. Now that Milwaukee is out of the playoffs, the Nuggets now have the second longest active playoff streak in the NBA. The Boston Celtics have made it 11 seasons in a row, 2015 to 2025, and the Nuggets are now on 7 seasons of getting in the playoffs. That's the second longest active playoff streak in the NBA. And I just think that sometimes these teams that do it all the time, and they even win a title in that span, you're going deep typically in these playoffs. That was a great kudos to Michael Malone. They weren't getting eliminated in the first round like George Karl was. I just think the regular season is, you do what you can. You just fight. You're going to have nights where you look perfect. You're going to have nights where you don't. You're going to win games where you look ugly. You're going to lose games where you look good. I'm ready for the playoffs because it is a completely different beast than what we know as the regular season, especially if you are a team that's just used to getting in each and every year. So I'm ready for that. I'm done messing around. 6 more games left. I'm just done messing around with it.
Is that Celtics stat a record? So 11 seasons in a row, a record?
I don't know if that's the case. Probably not. It's just the longest current playoff streak right now of a team that's been to the postseason for the most consecutive seasons in a row. I would guess Boston did that, and the Lakers did that a few times.
70s,
80s, 90s. 70s, 80s, and 90s. Sorry. I would guess that's not a record. You could look it up, though. What's the longest streak of making the playoffs in the NBA, Mike? Google that thing. He said, Chris, bring Tanner back inside off the ledge. Rockies are tied for third in the division. Yeah, Tanner was as negative about the Rockies as I've ever heard him. And it's just the start of this thing. What was he expecting? 3-0? He thought they'd lose Friday, so he thought they were going to go 2-1 in this series. Okay, well, that's a bummer. For 30 wins, like every game, and having a walk-off against you and losing one-run games, that's going to keep you up at night. But I'm not stressed right now because I'm still in fresh haircut, fresh shave mode. So talk to me in 3 weeks, and we'll see where the Rockies are. I don't know. I have a feeling maybe they win games they're not supposed to win. I'm not like giving you any. I thought Freeland was pretty good on Friday for the most part. Now, what did he go, 4.5 innings? I'm just curious to see if that's going to kind of be how the Rockies do it. Because Freeland was fine. You know, I don't think if Bud Black's managing that game, Freeland's coming out. Maybe Schaefer's trying to catch him before he knows the unraveling is about to begin. Yes, Michael, you have a stat for me?
I do have a stat. In the proper NBA, the Boston Celtics were there from,
Here we go.
Okay, actually, never mind.
No.
Because I'm a little confused by what's going on. You know what? The years are wrong.
Okay.
Because it's not saying... Okay, I see. The Syracuse Nationals, I believe, became the Philadelphia 76ers, and they went 1953 to 1963. It appears... Yeah, so a total 1950 to 1971. That's tied with the San Antonio Spurs, 1998 to 2019.
Okay. What was the Spurs?
2019.
2019? They were consecutive in there? Wow.
Yeah, that's what it says.
That's pretty good. The Spurs were one of those teams. A lot of people respect their championships the most because they were kind of like the Patriots. They didn't get it all in like one chunk.
They got 1999,
yep,
2003,
with David Robinson and Tim
2005,
Duncan.
2005, 2007, 2014.
That was the trio. And then their last one was 2014. That was when they got Kawhi Leonard in there. So they won one with Kawhi. Tim Duncan a part of all of those. Yeah, the Spurs were great. But that's still an impressive stat for the Nuggets. I mean, this is a team that, I can't stress this enough, but before Carmelo Anthony got to Denver, they weren't regularly doing anything. You know what they were doing regularly? They were losing a lot of games.
The Nuggets are not on this list because they are actually from 2004 to 2013, but their current streak is not on this list.
Oh, really? What was their longest before that?
10.
Okay. I think with Joker, they're going to get past that.
Probably.
He'll play... As long as Nikola Jokic plays for the Denver Nuggets, then they won't miss the playoffs. I mean, I know they have before, but once they got in, they're that good where they can kind of fall asleep and fall in now. I wonder if those streaks, those records are now going to count toward play-in. Because a lot of these are some of those early ones, they didn't have as many teams in, and now you have six teams basically get considered a playoff team. While you have four others that are play-in team, does play-in actually count?
It does not say. I think it should. If it's going to count, that it should have an asterisk.
Maybe. Extra. It's kind of like the first four in March Madness. Like, you made it to March Madness, but you're not actually officially in the bracket yet.
I don't like that.
Does it count? Do you take it? Say, yeah, we went to March Madness. We were one of the first four in. So, our first four games. So, I would count it. You just know.
You count it when you win.
You win a game.
Yeah, when you win that game and you're one of the eight in the conference, yes.
Yeah, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So the Nuggets were good against Golden State. Now, you still don't have Steph Curry and no Jimmy Butler, but you win 116-93. Like, we can throw out, if Curry's in that game... Sure, if Aaron Gordon's in that game, maybe the Nuggets win by even more. Gordon was out. He complained of hamstring tightness, which certainly has me concerned. With six games remaining, do you consider... Now, I don't think you consider shutting Aaron Gordon down for six games, because one of the big knocks on this team is just getting everybody back, not just healthy, but getting them together. But it is a thought. because you want AG to be the regular AG, and he needs a few more games. But you also don't want to have him come in with a jacked up hamstring and then re-injure it right before the playoffs, and suddenly he's out. Not only is he such a physical, has such a physical presence on the defensive side for you, we know he's capable of scoring, but he's also like their mental booster. Have Mr. Nugget, man. Something about having Aaron Gordon alongside Joker and Murray, it just changes things. So I am concerned. Cam Johnson goes out in that game. He was like grabbing his right oblique area. Spencer Jones gets smacked in the face. Peyton Watson was on a minute restriction and then also in foul trouble, so he didn't play a whole ton. All your power forwards, not playing in that game for their full a lot of time. So there is a, now they get today off, they're off tomorrow, and then they'll play Utah again on Wednesday. So that's a nice stretch of games off, because Lord knows we talked about that so much last week and their crazy schedule and their head to pillow updates and all that. Well, now they're getting two nights off, so we should be equally as excited about that as some of us were pissed off that they were playing all those back-to-backs and crazy plane flight schedules and all that. I, for one, just kind of get tired of it. I understand it, but I don't really want to hear it anymore, because at some point they're all going through it. Even though the Nuggets have more back-to-backs than most teams this year, that will not be the case next year. And one of those back-to-backs wasn't supposed to be a back-to-back, with the Memphis game being rescheduled, but it was rescheduled to a back-to-back game. Eh, I'm over it. But you take care of what you needed to do. They get this stat, Mike. Their home record hasn't been great. They're 24-13. This is a remember, like, shortly before they won a championship, there was a year where they only lost three games at home. Well, get this stat. This one should make you feel a little bit better. When they're with their full starters, their regular starters, you know, Christian Brown, Jamal Murray, Cam Johnson, Joker and Aaron Gordon, and then your full complement of bench players coming off, like Peyton Watson and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Brucey Bruce, you're 10-1 this year at home with your regular crew. 10-1. The one loss was that debacle against the New York Knicks, and that was a bad loss, don't get me wrong, but it was also the first one out for all of them back in the mix, aside from Peyton Watson. So I kind of just maintain this around this Nuggets team right now. Just get to the playoffs. The rest of the way, you have Utah. You got to win that game. You're home against San Antonio. San Antonio will still be playing for something, I believe, right? Because in the standings, if the Spurs want to track down that number one spot, they can still get it. They're 2.5 games behind the Thunder. So expect the Spurs to go all out in trying to win that game. That'll be, it's at home. Nice little preview of a team you could see in the playoffs. You could see them. You could see OKC. It just depends. Then you're home against Portland, home against Memphis. I expect this team to finish the season. They're at 48 wins. They should get 49 on Wednesday. They should get 50 against Portland, 51 against Memphis. I think they'll get no less than 51 wins. Do you get one out of the five? You know, you have San Antonio on Saturday. You have Oklahoma City next Friday. They might be done. They might not be playing for anything at that point. Same for San Antonio on Sunday, April 12th. We'll see, but there is a chance that OKC and the Spurs are not playing for anything. What does that mean? For Denver to climb as far as they can go, the farthest they can get to is third. They are sitting in fourth right now. They are a game behind the Lakers. Now two games ahead of the Timberwolves, two games ahead of the Houston Rockets. And like we said earlier, with six games remaining, they are six games ahead of the Phoenix Suns. So should be out of that. I think they are actually out of the play-in spot. Now it's just a matter of who you want to play in that first round. Because the way we're sitting right now, let's just assume the Clippers and the Suns, yeah, they're in. No, the Portland Trailblazers, and Golden State. Did they clinch? They clinched the play-in berth. So now we're just waiting to see where the Clippers and the Suns fit. But all the teams that are going to be in are in, meaning Memphis, New Orleans, Dallas, Utah, and Sacramento are officially out. So we have at least the playoff picture of the teams that will be both in the play-in and the playoffs. If it were to finish the way the standings suggest, so let's just assume the Clippers maintain the eighth spot and the Suns maintain the seventh, it would be Oklahoma City and the Los Angeles Clippers in the first round. It would be the San Antonio Spurs and the Suns in the first round. The Lakers would then play the Rockets in the first round, and we would still be seeing Denver and Minnesota. I think it is important, somewhat important, to avoid Minnesota in the first round. I know there's, like, Brian this morning on Good Morning Oko's like, bring it on. Okay, and I get it and I appreciate it, but if you're just looking at the best matchup to ensure a first round victory, I would much rather see Denver take on Houston over Minnesota in the first round. So still plenty to play for here coming up. So pay attention to who the Lakers are playing at this stage. The Lakers are playing tonight. Yeah, they play the Wizards. They'll probably win. They are 16.5 point favorites in that game. So they'll probably win that game. Then they have a back-to-back. They're going up against Cleveland tomorrow night. That's a late tip. Potentially could potentially lose that game. And that would put all the pressure back on Denver to turn around and win on Wednesday. So a lot to discuss here, Mike. Mark Johnson's going to join us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Excited to catch up with him. But in the meantime, keep it right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA on Northern Colorado's voice. Don't go anywhere. Whole show. We'll be right back.
From worst to
the Athletics. Get the win in 11.
Just how will this season go for the Colorado Rockies? Hear games right here on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital. To rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's a tricky. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around.
Welcome back into the whole show at On the Rocks Liquor, the beverage of the week. White Claws, Claw Tails. These premium malt drinks are available in two flavors, Strawberry Cosmo and Mango Margarita, on sale all this week. And on Friday, Windsor's own The Heart Distillery will be at On the Rocks Liquor, sampling a line of their handcrafted cocktails. So stop by, try something new at On the Rocks Liquor. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Michael, did you happen to catch the final play between Duke and UConn?
I did not.
Ooh, that was rough. It's rough. And obviously we're bringing up the past stuff. 36 years after, Christian Laettner hit a buzzer beater to beat UConn in the Elite Eight that ultimately sent Duke to the men's Final Four. UConn got their revenge. Duke's up two, trying, you know, getting the ball in. UConn, it's only a matter of seconds until they're going to start fouling. And they don't. Caden Boozer, you're working on the half-court press, trying to get the ball across the line, and you have like three defenders get all over Caden Boozer. He tries to throw that ball over the top. It's tipped and ultimately gets to Braylon Mullins, who goes up, and buries the three-pointer from 35 feet with 0.4 seconds left to cap off a crazy 19-point comeback. They were down 19, and they end up winning 73-72. Who won that? UConn win it, or did Duke cough it up?
Duke lost.
Feels like it.
I'm sorry, but you're ahead by 19. You coughed it up.
Yeah.
If you're ahead by 10 and the other team comes back, the other team won. You're ahead by 19. You lost.
Yeah, it feels like it. And that happens a lot. And you're not trying to take anything away from UConn by saying that. But when you're up 19 and you have the ball with 2 seconds left, hang on to the basketball. They're going to foul you at some point. Instead, I just
think panicked.
Those presses can do that to you, though, man. Just suddenly you forget everything that you've practiced for all your basketball life when it comes to breaking the press. And it's like time stands still almost. You just forget. And it's weird because Caden Boozer is such a phenomenal player. For him to be the guy that ultimately coughed it up, it's tough. And he took it really hard. I mean, he's a good player. He's not like, you know, one of the top players, but he's an exciting player, one of the bigger names in college basketball. Probably a good reason because of his dad, Carlos Boozer. But, man, he was broken up about it. First Advantage is text line 888-530-0043. And that also ends my bracket, Michael. It was done anyway. I wasn't going to finish near the top in any of this, but just wanted to beat Tanner. Just wanted to beat you. Just wanted to beat Bruce and Brian.
Did you beat me?
I don't know. I'll have to go look. I haven't looked at it in a while. Once my Final Four started getting picked apart, I kind of knew it was over for me, and I thought, well, maybe the only shot I have of beating Tanner is if Duke still wins and his champion, because Purdue got knocked. Didn't Purdue get knocked out? Yeah. So.
Yeah, Purdue was my number two.
Yeah, that was my only hope there. That my champion would go just a little bit further, but it was just not the case. Faith texting in on the First Advantage text line. UConn does deserve some praise in their defense down the stretch and clawing back. Yes, did Duke make a critical mistake? Yes, both teams had roles to play on the win and loss. Well, yeah, I mean, you still have to take advantage. You have to take advantage of if a team's going to try to let... It's basketball, man. Teams are going to have ups and downs. It's a game of runs. But if you can't take advantage of those down moments for Duke and capitalize off of turnovers, and obviously one critical turnover, then yeah, it's on. You still have to do that. You as the winning team still have to find a way to do it. Aaron texting in, I don't like how the national media proclaimed it an upset victory. It's a number one seed versus a number two seed. Even beyond that, you know, it's, oh, we want to rip Duke to shreds today. This is why I started the show with this, Mike. This is why, like, I know there's a lot of Buffs fans that are kind of done with Tad Boyle, but it's so hard to win in March Madness. It comes down to one game so often, every game, it comes down to one game. In the NBA, like, you can watch Oklahoma City for some reason. If they're playing the Clippers, what I say, in the first round, if the Thunder are playing the Clippers in the first round, it could be one of those weird games where they're not hitting anything. The Clippers just go off. They got guys hitting threes that normally don't. And then suddenly OKC's down 1-0. If first versus an 8 seed, you're probably not panicking that much. But you know that they're going to, hey, you got more opportunities to bounce back. But in college, it's just... You can have that happen so easily where the best team just struggles. Or they're up 19 and they just hit an impossible stretch where nothing is going right. And the other team, good on them, takes advantage of it. So they should be praised. UConn should be praised. This narrative, though, of like Duke, oh, they choked and it was UConn was a 2 seed. How did that? I don't really buy into that. I've watched March Madness just too much, Michael, in my lifetime to sit here and tell you that, like, a Duke just, they're not capable of winning these clutch games. But it is funny how it kind of works out. You got a 3 and a 2 going at it and a 1 and a 1. None of those are Cinderella stories, Michael. For as much as we want to say March Madness is unpredictable and, you know, it's all about the Cinderella stories, more often than not, you get a few ones in there and you get a straggling three or a two. It is this tournament. That's why the first weekend is so exciting, because it's way more unpredictable. Duke and UConn? I mean, I thought Duke would win that game, but I wouldn't have been shocked if I would have looked down, you look down at that score and see UConn pull it off. I was shocked by the way it happened, that Duke was winning by 19 points and they cough it up. And now there's like Duke fans out there. What about Coach Shire? Should he be in the pressure cooker now, man? Should he be? I just don't buy that, man.
Yeah, no. Even if you lose to a 16 right off the bat,
it just happens. It happens to all of them. Are you a good basketball coach? Are you winning a lot of regular season games? Are you giving yourself an opportunity to go to the tournament? I just have a hard time. Now, again, pressure's going to change in college sports, and in particular, as we're talking today, college basketball, when you got a lot of money to spend and you start bringing dudes in that you think can help you get over the top and you're throwing a lot of dollars, the pressure's going to increase. And maybe that's where Duke's coming from, because there's a lot of pressure. This, like, a lot of talk today about where Coach Shire is. Faith says this is also where these Duke coaches really need to hone in on protecting their players and their mental health. This is the part of sports I hate when grown adults come after these guys. Yeah, man. Like, I'm seeing. I like Dave Portnoy's stuff, Barstool, but he's talking about these guys, and I get it. They make money now. But I've never been one that, like, just, I call out things. We bring logic to the show, Michael. I call out things. I'm not going to just shred a human being because they coughed it up. We're going to acknowledge it. We're going to get into it. But especially, like, I get they're making money now, and I don't really like to call them kids, but these are still developing basketball players. These are still players that are learning this game and how to handle it, not only physically, but mentally, too. So I agree with you, Faith. I'm not one that's, like, likes to call them kids. But I also get that they're, whether you want to call this a minor league for the NBA, a minor league for the NFL, sure, we can call it that, but they're still minor. Even if they start getting real contracts and we start calling them not student athletes, just athletes, they're still in the minor leagues trying to figure this thing out.
Yeah, I agree with not calling them kids. They are adults. The only time they're called kids is when they make a mistake.
They're only called kids if they play sports. Did you ever notice that? Like, I guess it depends on who you talk to. But when I was in college, I had to go get jobs and start making money. Once I hit 18, it wasn't much of like, you're a kid. You know, no, I'm up here by myself trying to make a living. Not a living, but at least pay for my tuition and everything. And you're not really called a kid, but if you play sports for some reason, I don't know why that is. Aaron, shout out to DU for making the Frozen Four. Yeah, it's part of our top stories today. And all of the schools Michigan wanted to draw in the tournament, DU wasn't them. Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later. Some wild news in the top stories, Michael. I don't know how close you've been paying attention to the officiating strike that's happening in the NFL. Sounds like the NFL is going to go ahead and start onboarding their new referees, because they're at an impasse right now. And we had this a few years back. If you remember the infamous shot, I think it was after Aaron Rodgers, Hail Mary. And
yeah,
one referee called it a touchdown. The other referee in the same shot right next to him called it an incomplete pass. So are we going to see a lot of that?
You might see the commissioner get involved, maybe New York get involved. They're going to get some guys from college. I just have to say this. Don't get anyone who's ever worked in the Pac-12. None of them.
The old Pac-12.
The new or old. I don't know what the new Pac-12 is going to look like, but the old Pac-12, the officiating was horrendous all the way around. Don't get any of them. None of them.
Who are going to be the new refs in the new Pac-12?
Hopefully qualified officials.
I haven't really thought about that much, to be honest with you. But I'm curious.
By the way, I'm on page 6, and I haven't found a lot of KFK employees. I've found page 1.
That's pretty good.
Bruce is page 2. Miles Blumhart, not an employee, but friend to station. He is page 5. Maybe I've missed a few people. By the way, this could change based off of the overall points, but I haven't found myself yet.
No, I think we're way down there, Mike. I think we're pretty far down the list there. Was not a great showing by the KFK crew.
Yeah, the staff... staff started this, and the staff got finished pretty early.
To be honest, my mind was on the race.
Oh, I found Tanner.
Michael, my mind was on the race. I was too focused on the race to worry about my bracket. So, yeah, did I have, you know, too many things going on? Probably. You know, like a great athlete, if you can't make the main thing, then it's not the main thing. And mine, unfortunately, was not the bracket. I got distracted by this race that I had to win, and I put all my mental... all my brain capacity into that game. And I call it a game. It was a
Tanner
game.
Tanner is on page 6.
Well, he's a higher page up than I am. Faith says I'm on page 2.
Go, girl.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. 44 minutes after the hour, Michael, we got to jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
I'm trying to speed up this hour, Mike. Trying to close it out early.
I'm focusing on the points. I didn't want to be in last place.
Am I in last overall? Am I going to finish last overall?
Well, of all the people that I could find, you're ahead of Tara Rasmussen and Mrs. Schwint, Jenna.
Okay.
Tanner's better half. But you are at 570.
I'm ahead
which
of two
is 10 points below me.
I'm ahead of two people. Is this correct? I'm ahead of two people?
No, two people whose names that I recognize,
of
station.
No, I'm just asking if I'm like, how far away am I
from
last,
the bottom?
From the bottom. Again.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty bad.
My face was.
I think the very bottom is 210. You are 197.
That's pretty good.
I am 195, so I am two better than you. Kyle Johnson is 190.
Duke and Houston, everybody. Yeah, you know, just a rough look for me.
Page 7 is basically the whole show because Jaden Nelson is on page 7 as well.
Is the whole show?
Yeah, former whole show producer,
okay.
Jaden Nelson.
And not everybody knows that.
He's at
not everybody knows that. Like, they know the picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. I did get my first baseball pick wrong, though, Mike.
That's too bad.
That'll be okay.
We're covering the Rockies. They're on Friday. Everybody knows
that. Well, no, not everybody knows that, but they know it now. But it's not like an obvious thing that everybody knows. They know now. 11:51 the time. Let's wrap up hour number one. Coming up, we got top stories of the day. Also, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. We'll talk some Buffs, but also when we get Mark on, we talk the state of college athletics. See what he's cooking on. Coming up a little bit later. Keep it here with us on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado, who's about to my place, I hear. They're about out there to take care of the rodents and the pests and all of it. We'll be right back.
You're every single game. We have the madness on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, we'll talk about how it went down for the Rockies. Is Warren Schaefer rattled at all by starting off 0-3? Listen, any other year you'd be like, whatever, but this is all about avoiding bad history again, and you don't want to be worse than what you were last year. So it does seem like every game is magnified, but not in the positive way. If they win, I don't think people are going to care, but every loss is just going to be, here we go again. How big would it be if they could pull off something crazy in Toronto later this afternoon? Because they normally give up a billion runs. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be a better team. Still maintain like 65 wins or so. They're not going to lose 100. All right, Mark Johnson will join me in the second hour. Top stories of the day coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.